Hello, this is the CertSecurity.com Threat Monitor Podcast for the week of January 2nd, 2008. In these semi-monthly recordings, CertSecurity.com contributors offer expert advice on the latest information security threats. I'm Billy Hurley. Bot herders haven't made millions of dollars by relying on yesterday's botnet techniques. In fact, the bad guys have found an innovative new way to leverage thousands of drone machines. It's called FastFlux, and it makes even the largest botnets much harder to take down. Ed Skotus reviews the pesky botnet tactic and explains how to conduct a FastFlux investigation. And now for this week's edition of Threat Monitor, Thinking FastFlux, New Bait for Advanced Phishing Tactics, written by Ed Skotus. Years ago, attackers would often have one or two really important machines that were the centerpiece of their criminal money-making schemes. The bad guys thus often faced one or more single points of failure in their criminal infrastructures. A phisher's imposter website could be taken out. A spammer's mail server could be added to a blacklist. And for bot herders, an IRC server, historically used by many botnets to distribute commands to all of the bot-infected hosts, could be shut down. So how have today's enterprising bot herders making millions of dollars from their criminal empires responded to the single points of failure? Two words: FastFlux. Since the summer of 2007, there has been an explosion of large-scale FastFlux botnets. With this technique, bad guys can leverage thousands of disposable drone machines as intermediaries, rapidly swapping among different systems, confounding investigators who try to trace back a constantly fluctuating set of targets. FastFlux in action. Let's focus on a phishing scenario in which data thieves have a web server that pretends to be a big bank. We'll call this machine Evil Server, with an IP address of w.x.y.z. To solicit customers to this fake bank, the attacker dupes users to click on a link distributed in email, one that's associated with some domain name that the attacker controls. Let's call this domain name www.fakebank.com. I know that name isn't convincing, but stick with me. In normal phishing attacks, the name and the link, www.fakebank.com, will resolve to w.x.y.z, the address of Evil Server. Thus, if users click on the link, they'll connect directly to it. But with FastFlux, www.fakebank.com will not refer in any way to Evil Server. Instead, the DNS server associated with www.fakebank.com uses a technique called round-robin DNS. Round-robin DNS allows numerous IP addresses, often five or more, in a response to a single DNS query for a single name. Round-robin DNS isn't evil. It was created for load balancing across multiple servers. FastFluxers, however, can abuse round-robin DNS, sending responses for www.fakebank.com and mapping the site to several IP addresses, which we'll call a.b.c.d, e.f.g.h, i.j.k.l, and so on. If users then click on the fakebank.com link, their browser will try to connect to a web server at one of these IP addresses. The machines at those addresses, however, are actually bot-infected victim machines, and they are running a transparent web proxy. When a web request is received, each web proxy running on a victim machine sends the web request to the evil server at w.x.y.z. But it doesn't stop there. After all, this technique is called FastFlux. An attacker can set the round-robin DNS records to have very short time-to-live, or TTL, values. The DNS TTL indicates how long the DNS client should hold on to a record before it is discarded. With FastFlux, the bad guys time out their DNS records quickly, often setting the TTL to 3 to 10 minutes. What's more, they constantly stuff new DNS entries with the IP address of other bot-infected machines that act as a proxy. All of this DNS and proxy jujitsu makes it difficult for researchers to find Evil Server. When a diligent examiner asks various ISPs to take down the machine at the IP address a.b.c.d, for example, he or she finds out that it is an infected consumer machine with a web proxy, not the actual fake bank. Suppose the investigator convinces the ISP to block traffic to a.b.c.d. If that person clicks on the link again, he or she now goes to e.f.g.h, and the fake bank is still there. The examiner can go on and on, playing whack-a-mole with a bunch of proxies, but the bad guy keeps loading IP addresses with short TTLs, round-robining them for the name www.fakebank.com. So why don't investigators take down the DNS server that the bad guy uses to resolve www.fakebank.com? First off, some bad guys use commercial DNS services from companies that ignore such takedown requests. Fast Fluxers also choose ISPs in countries with lenient, if any, cybercrime laws. Attackers have also devised double flux techniques, where the authoritative DNS server for the domain changes continuously. There are tools available to investigate the fast flux attacks in your enterprise environment. Ed SCOTUS reveals them, but first, a quick word from CertSecurity.com.
Mergers and acquisitions are common in today's rapidly changing business market. And before long, M&A activity will almost certainly have an effect on your organization's enterprise security. Don't be caught by surprise. Start preparing today by checking out CertSecurity.com's Corporate Mergers and Acquisitions Learning Guide. Experts like Michael Cobb and Ed SCOTUS offer advice on how to successfully integrate compliance efforts, merge network security policies, defend disparate web application infrastructures, and much more. Master the policy practices and people problems of post-merger security. Check out the Corporate Mergers and Acquisitions Learning Guide today. Visit CertSecurity.com and search for Mergers and Acquisitions. You'll be glad you did.
Investigating fast flux attacks in enterprise environments. Most enterprises don't need to know or care if fast flux techniques are being used against them. They merely need to address phishing and bots generally, educating users to avoid bad links, updating patches and antivirus signatures, and limiting inbound and outbound network traffic at firewalls. That said, if you do want to investigate possible fast flux techniques, here are some approaches. Go to the great DNS Stuff Tools page and paste the URL of a phishing email into the URL deobfuscator field. This simple web app turns bizarrely encoded URLs into something that we humans can better understand. Now, from your unobscured URL, take the domain name and look up its associated IP address. You can use DNS Stuff's DNS lookup option. If you get a bunch of address records, known as A records, all mapped to the exact same name, you've likely got some form of round-robin DNS going on. Also, investigate the TTL fields. Anything less than 600, 10 minutes, is suspiciously low. But some legitimate banks do use round-robin DNS, in short TTLs. To see if fast flux is in use, do another DNS lookup 10 minutes later. Check to see if a whole new set of address records and IP addresses shows up. To use built-in Windows tools for analyzing DNS records, get a domain name loaded into your machine's DNS cache. Ping the domain name, as in ping www.fakebank.com. Once the record is in your DNS cache, run the ipconfig/displayDNS command to display it. The cache should include the TTL values for each domain record. Note that you can rerun this command every second or so and watch the TTLs decrement. To flush the entries so that you can focus your analysis, run ipconfig/flushDNS. Then reping your host to get it reloaded into the cache, and run ipconfig/displayDNS. If the record's TTL is a short number, record its IP address or addresses, wait for the record to expire, and ping the target again. If your cache shows a constant shifting of IP addresses, you may have encountered a fast flux environment. To investigate further, go back to the DNS Stuff Tools website and use its Whois lookup tool. Whois lookups, although not always accurate, can provide insight into the people, location, and organization associated with a given domain name or even IP address. Enter the domain name and see if its results make sense. Is it a long-standing domain registered to an organization that looks trustworthy? Or is it a recently registered domain name for someone in a faraway country not known for hosting a lot of trustworthy banks? You can also perform Whois lookups on the ipconfig/displayDNS IP addresses. Do you get a bunch of entries associated with consumer ISPs? If so, these systems are probably bot-infected hosts on ISP networks. You may want to report the potential botnet to your ISP or to the folks at the Anti-Phishing Working Group, APWG, who take a keen interest in late-breaking phishing attacks. That concludes this week's edition of SearchSecurity.com's Threat Monitor podcast. You can also download more of our podcasts by visiting www.searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.